Diane talked this morning about the mechanical pencils, and I had one of those daughters who actually did take apart mechanical pencils and everything else possible. We were always analyzing how things worked, and she every once in a while would see a car accident and try to determine what car had hit what, you know, ever shameless mothering opportunities. You know, you'd go, oh, I bet he was driving too fast, or maybe that guy was on his cell phone. And so she would catch on to that and really look carefully at the cars. So one day locally, we were behind a long, long, long line. We get, you know, finally moves up, and it's because they're letting cars pass, you know, one lane at a time because it's a two-lane road and there's an accident. So we're, and then they stop our line just as we're going forward, our lane, and we're sitting there looking at the two smashed up cars, and it just doesn't make sense how they're smashed in their locations. And she says, Mom, there was a third car. They've already towed it away. And this is what happened. And so this whole concept of sometimes with pieces, when we can't put the puzzle together, there might be a missing piece to the puzzle. And I think within incapacity definitions, there's definitely a missing piece to the puzzle. And so that's why this is titled A Proposal to Address the Weak Link in Long-Term Care Planning. So you tell me later whether or not you think this is possible or absolutely never possible. So the caption of the in the first page, and there are papers back there. They loaded it online because I put it up. I submitted it late, but there are copies of papers out there if anybody doesn't have it online. So the caption of the first section is changing how we think about defining mental capacity, kind of a play on words, you know, changing how we think. So the one thing that we know about mental capacity is this: when you lose it, you won't know it. What do we do about that? So I give the example of upstream and downstream planning, which I got from Wes Wright, dealing with the oil and gas industry, which I know nothing about, other than I like the concept, upstream and downstream. So we're going to look upstream. We'll look downstream to see what goes wrong. And there's endless, endless resources. John McNair presented yesterday at Texas NALA on representing clients with diminished capacity. Lots of good resources. His paper is wonderful. So we're going to try to do some crash reconstruction on all of these things that go wrong when there's declining capacity. At the bottom of page one, there are some boxes there. First is the option. Yes, we can improve incapacity definitions, but at what cost and with what problems? It's not easy to improve these definitions. Second, clients aren't necessarily going to be interested. You know, we want to talk to them about the period of time when you do not have the capacity to avoid exploitation, but you're going to think that you're doing great. They're not going to want to spend much time talking about that. And then there's loss of control. A determination of incapacity means you lose control, and that's devastating. People don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. So anything that, any kind of approach that talks about relinquishing capacity may be just rejected out of hand. So the question, should attorneys offer clients options that clients need but don't want? And I think the answer is yes. Clients need to know about the impact of creeping incapacity on their plans and derailing all of their plans. I think that more people will relinquish a little bit of control, maybe, if they know the impact can be so severe on their loved ones. So the last box says incapacity definitions are the trigger. That's the trigger to putting in place all of these plans that the client really feels so passionately about. And before you flip to page two, write these down, if you would, or on a sticky note or something on your screen. But next time you face a capacity issue, I think you can get 95% of all the information you need as an overview from first reading footnote number 2, then footnote number 13, then footnote number 5, reading the dissent of that May Supreme Court case first, and then a majority opinion, and then John McNair's paper from yesterday. So page 2, The objectives of this whole presentation are, first of all, to just grapple with this issue. And so at the top of page 2, I said, first of all, be kind to ourselves. You know, everybody needs to be kind to ourselves and our colleagues, because this issue is just emotion-laden. It's sad. It's tragic. It's very difficult to grapple with. And there are so many topics that go into it. Incapacity is a pivot point. That's when all of these lifetime plans get implemented. And, you know, what happens when they go wrong? The whole linking of incapacity to fiduciary duty is very troublesome. Should we be giving capacity tests to clients? What about all the blame shifting that's going on to fiduciaries who are trying to administer fatally flawed plans? You know, they're the easy targets. They're very easy targets. And then suggestions for redrafting. So before we go forward, let's look downstream a little bit there, middle of page 2, on losses of autonomy that are related, and these are primarily related to powers of attorney. So Bob Brown lived alone, no assistance, and he finally needed help, so he gave his son a power of attorney, or let him act as agent. Promptly, the daughter-in-law moves him to a nursing home, and he dies the next week. So this is where a power of attorney ended in death. And we've heard this story from a lot of people here and there, right? You always hear they just hustled him into a nursing home and he died. So the second one is John Jones lived alone, caught the flu, went into the hospital, tries to go back home. They won't let him go back home. In this movie, That Evening Sun with Hal Holbrook and Dixie Carter, wonderful movie. So finally, he packs his little suitcase and he walks home. And they've leased out his house, and they won't let him live there anymore. So there was a power of attorney, or some power, and he lost his home.